It's always good to see my friend from the University of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State University, I should say. Forgive me for missing part of your opening statement, but I've had the opportunity to watch you through this process. I do have a couple of questions, but before I go into them, I want to tell you how much I appreciate my friend from Massachusetts and some of the things he had to say, some things you had to say about the process, because I think we all would agree we'd prefer a little bit different process. But as my friend from the University of Oklahoma State University pointed out, we don't live in a perfect world. And let me ask you a couple questions about the bill and then a couple of questions about the alternatives. First, how much money overall from both sides of the equation you're dealing with, from the classic, if you will, farm programs and the classic nutrition programs, do we manage to save compared to what we would have done if we'd been on a normal trajectory?
The total net savings in mandatory money, not discretionary, mandatory money would be about $23 billion. The ratio would be about $8 billion out of the nutrition program, approximately. The other 15 approximately coming out of conservation, the commodity title, those things.
And how... I know our committee probably knows this, but just for the record, give us an idea of the relative size of those two programs.
The ratio between nutrition and everything else is, using the last couple of years, is about approximately an 80-20 ratio. So about 80% are the nutrition programs, about 20% make up the commodity title, rural development, ag research, crop insurance, all of those things.
So if I do my math right, about two-thirds of your savings are coming out of about 20% of the programs.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think...
And ironically, based on at least farm bills in my tenure here, this is an amazingly balanced one, even at a 15-to-8 ratio.
Oh, no, I think it's an extraordinary achievement. But I think it's worth noting... the gentleman who represents, one of the great rural districts in the country and one of the great farming districts in the country, it was, in effect, the interest in your area that took the biggest hit in terms of the savings.
I'll probably hear about that soon, but yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you will hear about it. I'm sure I'll hear about it, too. Why didn't you stop Lucas from doing that? But I just think that says a lot about your leadership and your desire to get to a point. And to my friends from Massachusetts, again, not critically at all, I think that's worth noting that our mutual friend here, took a leadership role in making tough decisions in the constituencies that are very important to him and to the benefit of constituencies that we all have to some degree, but politically, that's a much tougher position for you to be in.
Mm-hmm.
How you've done this over the last 2 years, I will never know, because this is a bill that could have gone off the rails several times. You've been assailed from the left and the right. You've had to deal with the chamber that is controlled by Democrats, the chamber that's controlled by Republicans. You've got an administration that obviously has interest in this, too, and they're in a different partisan perspective than you have. And so to somehow weave all this together with your colleagues, both in this chamber, your ranking member, and with colleagues where those two roles were reversed in the other chamber, it's just, I think, an exceptional achievement. And I got to tell you, a lot of times along the way, I suspect a lot of people doubted that it could be done. But I think it's actually one of the most masterful compromises that we've seen up here, given the range of competing interests in this bill and the many times that it could have gone off the rails. Nobody else, I think, could have shown the patience and the fortitude that you've shown. And I do think my friend knows agricultural policy in particular better than anybody else in the House, probably knows the nutrition programs at least as well as anybody else in the House. Given that, let me just ask you, it's a subjective, do you think there's any way we could have gotten a better bill than we have right now?
Uh, this level of savings by way of reform in the nutrition title was absolutely as far as the Senate and many of my friends could stand. I sincerely believe that by focusing on things like LIHEAP, heat and eat, but leaving the core programs where if you are eligible, you will receive help in place in the nutrition title. By the same token, stepping away from the direct payments in the commodity title, the principal since 1996, by the way, the most WTO compliant, the least trade distorting, the most defendable against our international partners, but politically unacceptable, stepping away from the direct payments and going in essence to an insurance program, whether it's dairy or grain farmers or livestock people dealing with weather, so that you only get help when you have a weather failure or a market failure. There'll be good years when nothing will be paid out in the commodity title. Doing that and at the same time achieving these kind of savings, I repeat, is nothing short of amazing. Now, I know some folks would say, you seem excited, Frank. You got to be moving. You're twitching. Because we are now operating without a farm bill, at some point, someone is going to go to a federal courthouse and sue the Department of Agriculture because the 1949 dairy law is not in place. We will not win that suit. I've said this before. Ask the Secretary of Agriculture about dairy policy. And I say this respectfully, but his eyes dilate because he can't implement the 1949 law. That's why I'm so focused, along with my colleagues on the committee, many of us, most of us, in getting this done. We are exposed policy-wise. We have to fix that problem, and I think we do it in a responsible way. My goodness, when I have one of the most prominent senators from the Northeast sign the conference report, and some of the most knowledgeable House members in California sign the conference report, my goodness, that's both ends of the milk spectrum. This is the best possible policy we can achieve. It moves us away from the old paradigms. It's something I think rural America and folks who need help when dealing with economic challenges across the country can count on. My goodness. When I started this trail, along with all my good friends on the Ag Committee 3 years ago, the assumption was that the environment was so bad that we would never do anything. And we couldn't go back to the 38 and 49 law. We couldn't go back to that stuff. The world has changed since Franklin Roosevelt was president, since Joseph Stalin ran Russia. It's changed. This represents as thoughtful a possible way to address the issues, address them in an equitable fashion across the board. Some of my friends will not be able to sign the conference report. But I think when you see the conference report, you'll be amazed at the number of both senators and House members, both Republicans and Democrats, who've signed that. Now, I appreciate their confidence. And I hope with time, and we all get to see what we've done here, that we'll come to understand just how amazing this is. I repeat once again, Tom, it's a miracle. I mean, in the environment we're working in, in the challenges we've had, no, by the way, there is no supply management in dairy. There is no supply management in dairy. We have crafted a way that gets us away from those programs that were so unacceptable to a majority of our House colleagues. I kid when I say, if I expire in the next 3 days, I want that glass of milk on my tombstone. My goodness, I've never known any subject as hard as dairy policy in this country.
One other question, really more for the record again than any other reason, because I know you would know this. You correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding, and look, nobody in this room wants any American any time to go hungry. Nobody wants anybody genuinely in need not to have the things that they need. It's my understanding that when President Bush was president, we roughly doubled the size of the nutrition programs. And it's my understanding since President Obama's been president, we've roughly doubled them again. So whatever cutback there is there is awfully modest when you measure it against the growth. And indeed, that'll be some of the criticism that you get in some directions. But it suggests to me that you've been very careful. And, again, when you look at where most of these cuts fall, the majority of these cuts fall in areas that are fortunately not dealing with people that have a challenge like that. It suggests to me that you've been extremely judicious in trying to make sure that those who need help continue to get help.
You know, Tom, the nature of my district. You know it was the abyss of the Great
Depression
and the Dust Bowl.
I know it almost as well as you do, Chairman.
I know you do. But I was raised by the people who are young men and women, who are kids in that, who suffered through that. I know that I cannot do anything about Mother Nature. Mother Nature is going to do what Mother Nature chooses to. But I can work hard to avoid the economic policies on the federal government level that exacerbate the problems of weather. My home county had 14, and I know you've all listened to me say this many times before, my home county had 14,000 people in 1930. We have now made it back to almost 3,000 people at the present day. I do not want anyone in this country to go through what my relatives, my neighbors, my constituents who are alive went through in the Great Depression. I am sensitive about all these issues. I want good policy. I want to make sure that we don't make the mistakes of the past. This bill is crafted in a way, whether it's the nutrition side or the farm bill, the commodity side, the crop insurance issues, to try to avoid that. I sincerely say to all of you, I care about my neighbors back home. I listened very attentively to the people who were young men and women in the worst of that experience. I listened very attentively to my parents who started to school in 37. I'm not going to be a part of making the mistakes that created that situation again. This farm bill is crafted in a bipartisan way to avoid those mistakes. It will move rural America and production agriculture forward. And remember, who's ultimately the beneficiary of that? Every consumer in this country and around the planet. High quality, affordable food and fiber to meet their needs. Even in times of bad weather, even in times of bad economic circumstance. I just repeat one more time, I believe this meets the test of avoiding the 1930s all over again.
Well, of course, you've been in this chamber for 20 years, effectively, in May.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've had the good fortune of knowing you, with all due respect to my colleagues, a lot longer than anybody in this chamber. We've been friends for now 34 years. I have to tell you, you talk a lot about the miracle of it coming together. My experience is that miracles need miracle workers. And, Chairman, I think you've done a miracle job. I know the obstacles you faced, frankly, in my own conference, in our own conference. And to my friends on the other side that have concerns, I know they're aware of that, too. I watched my friend deal with those things and bring people along I didn't think could be brought along. And at the same time, I think you've delivered a really good product, obviously, for rural America and agricultural America. And that's important to all of America because I think, as you point out, we pay less for our food as a percentage of our personal income than anybody else on the planet. And we produce food for a lot more people than we used to, not just here but all over the world. And high quality, incredibly reasonable price. And guess what they get to do with that disposable income? They spend it on something else, on products that people in other parts of the country produce. And that lets them do that and live at a higher standards than their parents and their grandparents did. So I just I want to thank my friend. This has been an extraordinarily challenging exercise, and it took somebody with your patience and your knowledge and your skill and, frankly, your willingness to bring all the different parties together and all the different interests together and find common ground. And I tell you, in this body, as polarized as we've been, I see little outbreaks of hope. I see the Ryan Murray agreement. I see the omnibus. But I see this as even more complex than either of those two because it's concrete, granular legislation that really affects every American at the most basic level, and you've somehow managed to forge a common agreement. I give a lot of praise to your ranking member, Mr. Peterson.
Absolutely.
A lot of praise to your negotiating counterpart, Senator Stabenow, certainly a lot of praise to Senator Cochran as well. Somehow you guys have put it together. Now, Yeah, would everybody here have liked to have their fingerprints on it more? Yeah, but I don't think we'd have gotten a product if you hadn't gotten it done the way you did. So I just want to end by thanking you for what you've done. It's an achievement. You know, strangely enough, we'll have a lot more press and a lot more focus on issues that are more controversial and less consequential than this one. And you've brought us a bill of major proportion, $1 trillion bill over multiple years, in a bipartisan manner that I suspect when we get it on the floor will pass. And guess what? A bipartisan fashion will go over to the United States Senate, which has been, if anything, more bitterly divided than we've been here in recent months. It'll pass in a bipartisan fashion over there. And the President of the United States, my guess is if we can put it on his desk, will be happy to sign it. And unfortunately, my good friend will be damned from both sides of the people that vote against it. But I couldn't respect you more, being more in awe of the achievement, and be prouder of you as a friend than I am in what you've done here. I think this is really a first-class piece of craftsmanship in a difficult circumstance. So just thank you for what you've done. Yield back.
Gentlemen.